I'm bringing it for both of us. Whoa.
Whoa, look at him go. Your video is actually cutting in and out, so it kind of makes you look like you're better at popping and locking because it's very jittery.
I saw that. I was like, that's crazy. I'm fucking going nuts right now.
Look at him go. Hello and welcome to Brews Day Tuesday podcast episode 638. I'm Sam Ginsberg and here's my real best friend, don't tell Tyler, it's Zach!
Yeah, take that. Take that, Tyler, let me text him right now. No, wait, never mind, I won't. What's up, Sam?
Nothing. You're cutting like crazy now all of a sudden. It was cool in the pre-roll, but now you sound crazy.
Alright, let me try to knock it off. Can't really control this in any way.
You know what? No, it's just the video. I just have to not look at you. I'm not look because the audio is fine, and that's what matters.
I mean, turn my video off. If I'm gonna make a cool and funny face, I'll turn it back on, so you kind of know it's gonna run.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah. Let me know.
Sweet. I will.
What are you drinking?
Me, I am drinking from local favorites, Youngblood Beer Company, Rufio Says Bangarang. Because Youngblood makes it, I assume it's a sour of some kind. Let's see, confirm this.
Probably.
Sherbet-inspired sour with sweet cherry and orange. 7% ABV. Sounds right. I don't like saying sherbet. I like saying sherbet, even though that's not what it is. Because sherbet is dumb.
They're different things, right?
I did not think they were different things. I was pretty sure that people just say sherbet.
Googling.
It's always been sherbet.
I honestly, I never listen when people introduce their beer, so I'm just going to Google the difference between sherbet and sherbet real quick. Oh, there's also sorbet. Oh, no. Oh, no, they are the same thing. It's alternative spelling. So maybe it's sherbet versus sorbet I was thinking of. Sherbet contains a small amount of dairy while sorbet does not. Which was not the question that anyone asked, but is what I've found.
Well, we'll always be able to carry that knowledge with us.
I already forgot it.
I'll tell somebody that at a wedding. We'll be like eating like a palate cleanser at one of those fancy weddings I go to where sorbet kind of is given in between courses. And I'll say, do you know that doesn't contain dairy? Otherwise it'd be sherbet. And they'll be like, do you mean sherbet? And I'll be like, we're not going to be friends. I can tell right away that I don't like you.
Honestly, my main takeaway from that whole thing is I've hit the age where I don't think I'm going to have any more friend weddings to go to.
Dude, I've been saying that for like 3 years.
The next wave of weddings is going to be like when my kids get married and they're shitty friends and whatnot.
What are you talking about? We feel like I've been to 2 Allen weddings. I'm kind of waiting for a third one. Just maybe they'll get bored and do another one.
I'd be on board. I didn't get to go to them.
No, you were you not at one of the Allen weddings?
Oh, I was at this. I was at 2.0.
Yeah, you were because someone's husband described you as like super cool and sociable and like their role model. I believe Lars Gerd's husband.
Was it Liz's husband? Okay, yeah. Okay, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Well, like, wow, I think for Phil, it's important. If you're gonna look up to somebody, make it something achievable. You know, don't look up to a real cool guy. Just look up to a different autistic guy.
Like he's crushing it over there.
Oh man, Phil's the best. Speaking of things that are good, maybe. Did you say what you think of your beer? Or was that while I was Googling stuff?
Oh, I have not said it. So, of this, do I get sherbet with it? I kind of understand. There's like a brief little kind of creamy finish on it. It's not so sour that it like feels like I'm licking a battery. So I don't know if that makes it a good sour or a bad sour, but it makes me like it more. But not overly tart. Definitely fruity.
I often run into that with sours where I'm like, oh, I like how this one's not too sour. And it's like, oh, well.
Yeah.
Real sour lovers would probably hate this, but I like the, I like that it doesn't, it's not like a kick in the teeth.
Yeah, I feel like this sour is like how I complain about hazy IPAs. And I'm like, it's just people being like, I like how this IPA is not super hoppy.
Shut up, nerd. That's not what this is for.
Exactly. There's somebody just screaming. There's that that one rabid listener just screaming in their basement with like their vein popping out about how sours are supposed to hurt to drink.
What's up, Tim?
Hey, Tim. Sorry, man. Yep, I like this. I find it very enjoyable. And for 7%, you could not tell.
Well, that's good. I've got, oh man, I forgot to check the ABV and the sticker might be on it. Oh, beans. We'll never know. Oh no, it's 5%. So peanut butter is a great flavor. It's a little tough in beer, but it's a great flavor in terms of flavor combinations. This is a peanut butter and something else beer. So like PB&J, obviously classic. Peanut butter and banana is great. Peanut butter and chocolate is great. Peanut butter pretzel is great. So we have kind of a new foray into the peanut butter combo. This is Half Brothers Brewing Walleye Wills Peanut Butter Jalapeno Wheat Ale.
What? Like a Thai inspired almost. Got some fumes on her.
Oh man. The thing about flavor combos is usually you want them to complement each other at all. This just tastes like peanut butter and jalapeno. And there's like no amount of like marriage of flavor here at all. It's just those are the two flavors and they're both there. So, you know, perfectly labeled. I guess I can't really taste the wheat, but we'll forgive them. I think this might be bad, but it's tough to say because it's doing what it said it was going to do. I just think they had a bad idea.
Hey, sometimes they just have a bad idea. They've executed perfectly on a bad idea.
We've seen a lot of beers on the show execute poorly on a bad idea, so this is better than that.
Yep. 100%. Not tell people at work, like, look, if you have a shitty idea and you do a really good job after that point, you've made a really shitty thing that nobody wants.
You tell them. Should we do one of these articles? I guess I should have said something about Tyler's not here. Tyler's not here. He told me he wouldn't be here, and then I forgot. And then was like, don't forget, I'm not going to be there. And I was like, too late.
Too late.
And usually I would try to book a third, but usually you can fill a show. So I'm depending on you a little bit. Should we do this food and wine one to start?
I would love to.
From foodandwine.com, the fastest way to ruin a good beer is using a chilled glass. You ever use a chilled glass?
I don't often go through the effort, but I think like once or twice. I feel like it's great with like root beer is what I really associate a chilled glass with. Like a frosty mug.
Junior year of college, my go-to drink was whiskey and ginger ale, and I would chill the glass for that. I don't know that it needed it, but I think there's something to the ritual of the whole thing that that was good. But, you know, we've talked before about how when your beer is too cold, you can't taste the intricacies as much. You know, a lot of the time, especially with a beer where you're looking for character from the yeast, you'll take a sip and be like, ah, well, when this warms up, we'll see if there's anything here. So I'm assuming that this whole thing is, if your beer is too cold, it doesn't taste of anything. So don't do that.
Yeah, taste, mouthfeel. If your freezer's dirty, that's bad.
Usually I'll just put Eggos in there, in the glass, to keep it cold.
Kind of a filtration, it's kind of a waffle-based filtration system I've got going on. I like that this article is just, like, I don't know, like, critical. Like, I respect a good complaint. Like, this is just someone complaining. Which I like. And I think this is appropriate for foodandwine.com. Like, this is not an everyman publication. They don't give a shit. They're just like, hey, if you're drinking shitty beer, maybe this is fine. But if you're doing anything nicer than that, don't do that. But also, I know that people are like, oh, well, the ideal serving temperature of beer is like blah, 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 blah. And they say it in here too. Yeah, 60 degrees. If you give me a 60 degree beer, I'm going to fucking leave. I know there are European countries where they're like, it's got to be lukewarm. I'm like, I don't want it. I don't care. It doesn't taste better. I assure you it doesn't taste better warm.
Maybe next week I'll have a room temp PBR to review how it like it. You can really taste the intricacies.
You can really taste all the dirty pennies they rubbed into this thing. That they lied about winning that blue ribbon. In the fair that they entered in, they didn't actually win. Guinness won that year, and they said, "Ah, fuck it," and they just called it PBR anyway.
I cannot tell if that's a bit or the truth. It could be either.
Someone told me that literally like an hour ago, and I don't know if it's true. I haven't verified it in any way, but I'm not.
Was it Holly? Because she's a fucking liar, and everyone knows it.
No, it's not. It was a stranger. It's even less verified than that.
I mean, even if they did win, they probably were just, like, up against just piss or something. Like,
they hadn't won since.
Back then, people weren't really bringing their best to the table.
Sadly, they were. This was all they got. This is all they had. It was like this and hams. Everyone's like, this beer stuck. It's like, that was the best they could do at the time.
I like the... They do a little bit of a dipping into... Science chat here. Ice crystals on a frozen glass act as nucleation points, causing carbonation to rapidly escape and to create an overly foamy head in the glass instead. I believe you, but you may have just made up the term nucleation point, and I wouldn't know.
Yeah, you think they're just, in fact, we'll just throw a couple extra words in here. Nobody's going to notice.
I know what a nucleus is, and I know what, like, nuclear power is, but I don't really know what nucleation is or how it applies here. Also, I'm unwilling to learn.
I think that's real, because I think, like, I used to do this. I don't know if it was ever true, but if it was, like, it was sort of, like, I guess, like, the opposite. But, like, even you'd stick your finger in a beer to make the head go down faster... The bubbles
I heard that finger. Too, but I think that was bullshit.
I put my finger in a lot of beers. I don't know if it helps, but it,
like strangers' beers.
Oh yeah,
let me enemies' beers.
Let me get that for you. Hey, sweet cheeks, no problem. Don't even thank me.
I think that is kind of in the same vein as the like when you have a can of Coke, tapping on the top of the can. To make sure
no way it won't. Does anything. Yeah.
But there's no way that shit does it. That doesn't make any
tapping
sense.
On the can? Oh, then just tap on it.
If anything, you're agitating it. You're making it more likely to bust on you.
Of course. Yeah, there's no chance that works. Like, it's a pressurized environment. Tapping on it, the air's not going anywhere. It's not going to stop because you tapped on it.
It was so pervasive. I get maybe that's a regional thing, but when I was in middle school, everybody did that.
To me, the only thing that's happening would be good for is to see how tense the top of the can is. You're like, is this thing going to fucking explode or is it going to fizz a little bit? You go, okay, there's some give to it still.
Oh man, we had an empty gallon of milk out on the counter and it looked like it was going to blow. Like it was nearly spherical when I got to it. And I was like, this doesn't seem right. We're putting this in our bodies, in our children's bodies. That doesn't seem right.
It's this... Michael Phelps is trying to sell me this.
You might as well sell me roids, Phelps.
Love got milk. I think it's the funniest thing. I'll never get over staple foods advertising to us, like staple goods. Like eggs have commercials. And it's like, eggs, I gotta buy you. You're in everything. You make our things.
That is weird. Like, Incredible Edible Egg was a huge campaign when we were... 10 or so, and then yeah, Got Milk was even bigger.
Got Milk was huge.
Beef, it's what's for dinner.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, why?
Why? There must have been cultural surpluses of those things at the time. Like, we must have just had too much milk, and they were like, advertise milk. And it's like, if I'm not buying milk, it's not because I haven't heard of milk. Like, who is this for? Like, it was like, oh, you're this milk shit? It's white, and it paints your upper lip. It's like paint, I guess.
It's just so weird that it's not a brand to me. Like, cause I feel like usually ads are buy our product instead of our competitor's product, as opposed to buy any this product by anybody. I don't care whose you buy, just buy it.
Buy any just milk. Like, I don't care.
If there were a Super Bowl ad for the idea of an American life, like whichever one, we don't care. Just like, you should buy them. We think they're good, and we think you should buy them. Yeah,
any cheeseburger.
From the American Cheeseburger Council.
Right. There's always a council. Like, how the fuck do I get on the American Dairy Association
Council? Yeah, whose dick do I gotta suck to get on the American Cheeseburger Council?
Please let me know. I will suck it. I want to get on that council bad.
I feel like I've just been sucking them at random, and it hasn't gotten me anywhere.
Like Carl's Jr.
Well, I mean, given their ads, that does make a little bit of sense.
I want McDonald's to do a Carl's Jr. ad. Like, I want Ronald McDonald, like, getting hosed down on, like, the hood of a car, Paris Hilton style, just eating a burger. And they're shot for shot. Exactly a Carl's Jr. commercial.
Who is that for?
Me.
Is it just you?
Probably. Probably just me.
Don't you famously hate clowns?
Oh, hate them a bunch. I really am scared of them. I'm scared of clowns the way homophobes are scared of gay people. Like, I think I just hate clowns. Like, I really just don't care for them. It's a phobia.
There's probably a word for that. Like not clownophobe. Something more interesting than clownophobe.
Yeah, there's got to be. That's a classic fear. That probably has a classy Latin name because people have been scared of clowns for like the whole time. But the whole time we've had clowns, people did not care for them.
Yeah, I know more people scared of clowns than scared of spiders, but arachnophobia is a thing, and I don't know what a... And snakes, too. What's a fear of snakes called? That's got to have a name.
That's got to have a cool one, too. All right, fear of clowns. It's called... No, that's not cool. It's called coulrophobia.
Why?
No one knows. I haven't looked into it.
Nice.
Coulrophobia, what's fear of snakes? Ooh. Ophidiophobia.
Well, this was nothing, and I'm sorry for bringing us down this path.
But herpetophobia is just a fear of all reptiles, which feels worse. It feels very, like, all of them. You've seen every reptile, you don't like any of them. Some of them are pretty sweet.
What about little salamanders, those funny old guys?
What about those guys? What about fucking, I don't know, like a turtle of some kind?
Maybe like a Gila
monster? No, those are amphibians. But those are so close. We're really gonna... If you're not scared of the tortoise, but you are scared of a lizard, it's like, what about these things is different to you?
I just imagine someone with... What did you call it? Herpetophobia or whatever?
Uh-huh.
Just being like, wait, shit. Is that a reptile or an amphibian? Let me look that up so I know whether or not I'm terrified of it.
Whoa! Yeah, exactly. They got to Google really quick. They're like, I don't know what actually this is. It's an axolotl. Am I scared of that?
My kids are weirdly into axolotls. I don't know how it happened or what to do about it.
Somebody else was talking their kids are super into them recently. I mean, there must be some fucking show where they're talking about them all the time. Like,
we saw them when we were in Vancouver. We saw them at the aquarium. And they're pretty rad, to be real. But there was cooler stuff there. I don't know why they latched onto the axolotl so much.
I feel like they'd be very difficult to take care of.
Yeah, I don't think they were petitioning to become pets in the home. Tell me about your life. Do it now.
Do it.
You did something that you texted me about, a thing that you did that was interesting.
Hell yeah, I did. I went to a shooting range for the first time in my life this past weekend for sporting purposes, and it was so fun. The only part I didn't like was interacting with the people there. I found that to be intimidating and a little tense.
Were they all like, it's a good thing you're buying this to shoot all of the Jews and libs?
No, it wasn't that bad, but it did feel very like, have you ever gone into like a bait store anywhere that might have a bait store? And it's like
No,
they
I'm
just
not
know,
allowed in
like,
this.
fair enough, you keep eating all the worms. They it was
It's
like
just
very
it's
small
protein
town.
at a low calorie point.
That's what
Everyone
I've
should
been
be eating
shouting.
worms.
It's just responsible. No, it was just very like, small town. Like it felt like record scratch when we walked in. 'Cause they were like, "Who are you?" Like they all were everybody who went in there was on like first name basis. Everybody's they're like, "Who are you?" I'm like, "You're running a business. You shouldn't be suspicious of new people. You should be welcoming." But and I think blue collar people can spot from a mile away that I'm a cosmopolitan gentleman. Like, I don't think I was wearing jeans and
Were
like a
you wearing a
white sweatshirt.
scarf?
I was wearing an ascot. Come on, I'm not gonna wear a scarf. But yeah, no. So they knew right away that I didn't belong, and I knew right away that I didn't belong. But we wanted to go do it, and luckily we had gotten like an instructor, not like through them, but one that they were like, this guy's good if we're not open, because their only classes were during like school nights. So got an instructor just to have somebody help kind of break us down, like break stuff down for us, kind of explain how it all works and take us through it, which I was really happy with because he was like the sweetest guy ever. He was like super, super nice. And he gave us instant credibility because they all knew him. And so we were with him. So we got to like follow behind him.
You had a Sherpa to take you up the
Yes.
mountain.
Exactly. And he was a great Sherpa. He was awesome. So we did that. He like gave us obviously some safety lessons. He talked to us about like loading and unloading guns and like how it works and stuff. And we just did some handgun stuff. But we got to shoot at the range. So that was I've never shot a gun before, so that was super exciting. And it was super loud. We even with ear protection on, it was like shockingly loud. Those are some fucking earmuffs too. They were powerful. I did pretty good, actually. I thought I was gonna be better. I went in being like, I've been playing video games for decades now. I played Time Crisis 2 like a million times. Surely I'm gonna be lights out on this thing. I'm gonna be like Navy SEAL level good at this thing. But I put on a respectable showing once I kind of got it down. Got my
You, I
sights
mean,
lined up.
you sent a picture of your what do you call it, like the sheet or whatever,
Yeah.
in the mystery DA chat, and I mean, there were a bunch of shots on center mass and a few shots in the head. Like, that seems pretty good to me. I'm in no authority to judge anything, but it seemed good.
It is wild, but if you look at that picture, there's like four in like the middle of the head and body. All of those were supposed to also be at the head. There's one like right in the middle of the head, and I like walked my way up. I was like, nope. Okay, there we go. But it was
Wait,
great. It was super,
some
super
of those
fun.
headshots weren't supposed to be headshots? Is that what you're saying?
All of those neck and chin shots were supposed to brain this fluorescent yellow man.
Okay.
but all of the body shots, all the center mat, those were all meant to be like. So I got cocky on that one. I was like doing so well on the chest. I was like, I'll start trying to dome this guy up, and it was a lot harder. For some reason, I just like it was difficult to change my aim to a different spot.
I've never shot a gun, and I can't imagine I'd be particularly good at it. But like, if Civil War 2.0 pops off and I need to learn how to shoot, I can't imagine ever getting good enough at shooting that I would go for headshots. Like, even in video games, I don't really go for headshots. I go f
Yeah.
like unless I really have my time, like I can take my time and my enemy is unaware. Line it up. Otherwise, it's just like, just go for the chest because it's hard to miss. And I know I'm not getting my crit damage, but I'd like to not miss.
No, and in real life, that's generally pretty good advice. It's like unless you're in a zombie apocalypse, like you're fine just going for the body. But yeah, it's like it was sweet, but yeah, it was the one thing I think too for video games is like the amount of recoil. You don't really like it's just sort of like a weird thing in real life. But loading, if you've watched movies, you know how to load a handgun. Like pop the thing on the bottom, snap the thing on the top, all you got to do. I was like,
Is
it's
it
exactly like
that
the movies. Oh, it was so easy. It was so easy. Honestly, the hard thing was putting the bullets in the magazine. Like, you have to load them yourself individually.
Because in the video game, the magazines are already full.
Yeah, exactly. In real life, you're one at a time adding bullets to those. And I was like, no fucking wonder people
just keep full ones of these. Who's got the time?
They got the time. You're just picking up whole ones of these. My experience there was mostly me not trying to, like, fuck around. Like, I wanted to make it very clear that I was like, we got to take this, like, very serious from, like, a safety standpoint, obviously. And also, nobody here is going to think I'm funny. There's not one joke I can tell that they're going to think is funny that I have to say.
So, at least you could tell yourself, oh, it's they must not have heard me because we all have this extreme ear protection headgear on.
Oh, no, exactly. Sorry, not go near me.
Did you try shooting it sideways once? You gotta do it once.
No, I was telling Holly down the way there. I was like, if I do it sideways for a kill shot, maybe that'll do this thing right. And she was like, if you do that when we're there, I'm going to be very mad at you. And then the guy was like so nice to us. I was like, I can't kill. Hey, can I do a quick kill shot here? Let me just try to straighten this thing out.
You were just saying there's nothing you could do that would be that funny, but if you and Holly went together, and Holly's target, it was all dick shots. That would be really funny.
They didn't have a dick on the thing. It stopped at the waist. It didn't go down to the dick.
So those would be misses if they were perfect dick shots.
Do you have a dick? Do you have ones that have, like, a penis on them? I was just relieved I didn't go in there, and they weren't, like, outs of, like, politicians that I approve of. It was just a fluorescent yellow person with circles tattooed on himself.
There weren't any options for, like, the alien from Aliens or anything like that.
Oh, I wish, dude. Alien from Aliens would be pretty sweet. I think they wanted me to get actually used to shooting, because I'm like, if they don't have a big proboscis behind them or whatever the fuck, I can't make heads or tails of this thing. I can't.
Right, if you only get good at shooting the back end of their brain or whatever. I don't actually know anatomically what that part is.
I don't know.
I don't got one of those.
There's an alien lore that I was reminded of, that in Alien, in Predators, the second Predator movie with Danny Glover, if you're like, did I dream that movie with Danny Glover? No, that was a real movie. That was the sequel to Predators. You probably saw it on TNT at some point. There is an alien skull on the Predator ship, and it has the full, it's like a white bone skull, and it has like the full thing behind it, like the full thingy. And I'm like, it's an exoskeleton, right? Like, aren't they like bugs? I was like, they wouldn't have a fucking skull, right? Like, I just remember looking at that being like, there's no chance they would have an internal skull to me. I always feel like they read more like bugs.
They didn't read like bugs to me. That's interesting.
Yeah, I felt like it would be more like a exoskeleton kind of deal.
I mean, it makes a more impressive trophy, I think. Because then you could...
You got this thing.
It just looks like the guy.
Yeah, exactly. It's
the hollow-ass guy.
Like, tell me there's bones in there. But yeah, they... It was super fun. It was like a blast, and I was really jacked up on adrenaline after shooting that gun. I will say, we went to a Culver's afterwards, and I was like fucking fired up. So I did better than Holly, which is really all I needed out of that experience. Yeah. If she had gone in there and just absolutely smoked it, I was gonna be pissed. I was gonna ask,
how did she do?
She did good. She honestly struggled more with like the physical. It is weird to hold a slightly heavy object away from your body and squeeze it really hard. Because you really need to, like, put a lot of pressure on the gun to stop it from moving. So her more, like, her wrist and, like, forearm got tired at some point. So you saw, like, her first target was, I would say, as good, if not a little better than mine. And then the second target that we swapped to, mine was, like, significantly better than hers. Because she just got a little tired.
That, I guess, that's not a muscle that I work. The wrist and forearm muscle. I guess if you scoop a lot of ice cream, like hard serve ice cream, maybe you get to work that. But I don't know how else you do it.
She made some joke. She was like, it's probably because you're jerking it all the time. And I was like, I mean, I'm sure that gave me some advantage, but like we go bowling all the time. Like we go bowling pretty frequently these days, and I think it's actually the same muscle group as bowling. Like,
oh, I can, yeah, I mean, I can see that with bowling. With the jerking off, though, I don't see how like my like elbow muscle is gonna help out with any of that.
No, I mean, it's like I'm usually just open hand slapping at it, so it's like that's not doing anything for me.
Hold it. I have to hit it before it hits me. Reminded who's boss.
That's what I always say. I thought you showed it who's boss with the vasectomy. I think that kind of really showed it who's boss.
Like, my team of doctors showed it who's boss.
I'm paying these men. They're working for me. You know, that's how I feel.
Whenever they're men, huh? That's interesting. That's an interesting perspective, Zach.
Yeah, I'm paying these men. It's an old 1940s hospital.
The surgeon and the surgeon's helper, who's probably a surgical nurse, were both women, and I did feel weird about it.
Hey, you guys gonna let me, like, you're like, obviously they're gonna be professional about it, but it's gotta be weird, right? It's like having a male gynecologist. I feel like that's gotta be weird.
I mean, the worst part about it was they were like, we gave you some anesthesia. Let us know if it wasn't enough. And at one point I was like, hey, that really hurts my balls. Give me more anesthesia. Like, I don't want to be a bitch here, but like, hey, owie.
My balls a bunch. If I can feel even anything, I'm going to tell you. Sorry, my massive hog. It's probably not going to be enough, doc. I don't know.
They do tell you in advance. I might have talked about this when we did this. They give you drugs ahead of time, not like Novocaine stuff. They give you, it was like not Xanax, but like generic Xanax, basically to be like, so you don't freak out when we start frying your nutsack.
Fair enough.
So like you get in there, I got in there and I was like, I'm kind of high and weird. And I brought my headphones so I could listen to a podcast because I didn't want to hear them talk about my bad nuts. But from a sensory perspective, the smell was the worst part because they kept burning my pubes. And then I had to be like, hey, it hurts that you keep burning my pubes so much. And I have a feeling they were snickering at each other later. And then on top of that, the embarrassment of like months later being like, hey, I nutted in a cup. You guys want this or what? And they're like, I guess.
You, no, throw that out. You're like, no, you told me to bring this here.
Drink it now, you whelp. And I did, because I didn't know what to do.
They, this isn't quite the same, but it's the closest experience I have is when I have to bring my dog's fecal samples to the vet for parasites and whatever. And they're like, just bring it by whenever. And I'm like, I know that you, if I show up with a bag of shit unannounced, you're going to ask me at least a couple questions. So I always call them and I'm like, hey, is it okay if I swing by at like this time with my dog's fecal sample? And they're always like, yeah, just bring it by. And I'm like, you don't mean that. So I like, you don't fucking mean that.
They do though, because they're a fucking vet. They like, people are just lobbing bags of shit at them all day.
Yeah, no, they're like, they bring it in. They're like, I was bringing it in. I'm like, hey, I called earlier, and they're like, yeah, who is this for? And I'm like, what was the point of me even fucking calling? I told you who it was for on the phone. I'm the only guy who called and said I would be bringing poop by at 4:45, right before you close, and dropping the poop off. And then one time, just once, I'm going to bring in my own poop and just have them be like, oh my God, it's the biggest sample I've ever seen.
Full on kernels of corn in here. What is going on?
Eating my dog an all corn diet. And then also I want them to be like, yeah, and you have ringworm. And I'm like, how can you tell that from that? How can you tell it?
My toxic trait is that, when I have to take one of my dogs in for, you know, routine exam or whatever,
yeah,
I try to make sure to bring poop with me, even if I don't know if I have to or not. And just, I keep a bag of shit in my hoodie pocket so that when they say, well, we need a stool sample, so make sure to bring one of those later. I can just hand it over. And I, in my head, I get a gold star for having dog shit in my pocket.
I kept it warm for you. Don't worry.
I, Man, I guess. I don't know.
That's so
have
funny.
You ever, is it just me, or have you ever, in the dead of winter, clean up a dog shit and put it in the pocket of your Carhartt, and then forget, and then, the next time you walk the dog, there's shit in your pocket already. Just me?
I've never done it. In the winter, though, when you pick up dog poop, and, like, that feels nice. When it's really cold, and I'm like, you know what, to be honest, oh, I will take this. Yeah. This is a nice warmth right now.
The fuckers around my neighborhood, they all have collectively decided, it's too cold out, I'm not cleaning up my dog shit.
You have to pick up dog shit.
Yeah, and they do, except when it's too cold out, and then they don't bother. Which means, come April, there's just shit everywhere.
Right, it's like there's still
shit. It's the worst.
Like, 2 or 3 times a day, my dog's taking a shit, depending on the day. And it's like, look, man, you gotta pick it up. It's just too much dog shit. And in the winter, yeah, it sucks, obviously, a little bit. But it's warm, it's actually nice, and it doesn't really smell that bad in the winter. And when you leave it outside, it freezes. You can just pick it up. Like, there have been days where my dog has had diarrhea in the middle of the night in the winter, and in the morning, I pick up a frozen pancake of dog poop. And I'm like, what a dream.
It's perfect. You just throw it into your neighbor's yard, and you're done.
Like a Frisbee. Yeah, I can huck it really far. I got a big distance on it. And yeah, I'm like, this is a dream come true. Like, there's no such thing as diarrhea in the winter if you're a dog. Like, this is great.
If you took one of those things to a Frisbee golf course, do you think you'd get arrested?
I think it would take them a long time to know what was happening, and I'd probably have to be like, hey, this is dog shit, and I definitely would get arrested.
I mean, every throw is going to take a chunk off of it, probably.
Hey, man, you're really losing that. You're like, I got it. Don't worry, my dog had too much peanut butter yesterday, and his tummy is very upset.
Man, speaking of peanut butter, it's what is in my beer. Should we rate?
Yeah, for sure.
My opinions haven't changed at all. It tastes like peanut butter and jalapeno, and there's no, like, flavor connective tissue to make that make sense. It just tastes like those two things at the same time. Nobody asked for this. I like peanut butter and I like jalapeno, and it's just the worst of both worlds at the same time. I'm going to give it a 3, despite the fact that I think it is perfect at being what it said it would be. It's a bad idea, and I don't know why they did it. And I'm going to recommend it to Phil, not because I think Phil will like it, but just because I like to have any point of connection with Phil. So I think Phil should drink it so we have something to talk about.
Amazing. I love that for you and Phil. I had, from Youngblood Beer Company, Rufio Says Bangarang, with a beautiful picture of not Dante Brasco on the front, but someone clearly who is supposed to be him. 7.0 ABV, sherbet-inspired.
Dante Brasco? Isn't he a voice actor?
Yeah, he does Zuko. He was Rufio in Hook.
No shit! Okay. Yeah, I only know him as a voice actor, not as a real actor. Mm-hmm. Real actor. That's a rude way to compare to voice actor. Not a screen actor, I guess is the term.
Yes. Yeah. Prince Zuko was Rufio, I believe. He just is forever young in his voice. It's gotta be weird being like you're in the cast and then the person who plays Aang, I think, was like 11. Like, that's your co-star right there, that child.
I mean, they probably met, but they didn't have to. Everyone's just in a booth.
Maybe at, like, premieres and stuff. He's, like, smoking cigarettes and stuff behind the back of the premiere, and they're like, holy shit, that guy can smoke? That's pretty cool.
He's bending fire in his own way.
Hey, that's a great way to look at that. This is a tropical sour, 7.0 ABV. It was fruit punch red and pretty delightful. I enjoyed it. Again, I'm not really sure if this is a good sour. I'm not, like, team sour. I'd have to ask Mary. I'd ask Mary her thoughts on if this is a good sour for what it's supposed to be, but I really enjoyed it as a beer. Got a little bit of zing, definitely fruity tasting. I'm picking up on the cherry for sure. And it does have a little bit of that orange sherbet kind of aftertaste. I'm going to give this a 7.2. I really, really enjoyed this.
And you got to recommend it to Mary.
I mean, I give it a reluctant and maybe tentative recommendation to Mary to weigh in on and give the sour heads, the Sour Patch Kids, like a real firm recommendation.
The Warheads, they prefer heads. To be called.
Yeah, they, I don't know. I really liked it. I think if you're in Madison and have access to this beer, it is worth grabbing.
On the subject of intense flavors like sourness, I was talking to Emily earlier today about how mm-hmm. I was very small as a child. I was very short and very slim. Mm-hmm. And like part of the way that I tried to like be a tough guy was I got really into spicy food. Like I developed a palate for spicy food. And I feel like you could do the same thing with like being really into sours. And maybe some kids, when Warheads were a big deal, maybe some kids were doing that and I just didn't pick up on it. But you, I assume, were on the smaller side. Did you ever do anything like that? Any like, but here's how I'm tough in my own way type shit?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I also, so yes, am and was short the whole time, kind of all the way through. That was nice. I never had like a coming down to earth moment. I kind of got to just like accept what it was the whole time. Same as you, spicy food, big into spicy food, still really like it. I would say that was more like a mid-20s thing, where like once I had a job, I would get like very spicy hot sauces and like put it on things. So big into spicy food, sour shit, I'm a weak baby against. I would rinse my Warheads off in the sink before I ate them.
Hell yeah. Because they tasted good once they stopped being so sour.
Yep, once they stopped burning the inside of my cheek.
It's just like candy.
It's just candy in there. It was great. It was really nice.
Hell yeah.
The only other thing I did was, other than being sort of a bully, which would recommend, I would, if someone dared me to do anything, I would pretty much do it. As long as my safety wasn't very obviously compromised. But it was like, hey, jump off of that. If it's not very high, go, fuck yeah, I will do that. If it's, hey, eat this thing that we found, I would 100% do it as long as it looked even remotely edible. Like, I just would not at all back down from any sort of dare opportunity.
Was that you being bullied, or were you in your power for that?
I was in my power. I was always making a conscious choice, but I was like, I was never going to do something I truly didn't want to do. But if I was like even remotely on the fence about it, I would just opt in to do it and act like it was no big deal for social points.
I just could see a situation where it's like, let's make loser Zach eat a worm. It wasn't that. I don't have to be sad.
No, it's everyone's trying to get somebody to eat a worm, and I go, I'll eat that worm. I ate a mosquito that was...
I'll eat that worm because I ain't no bitch type of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was like prison yard style is how I viewed it. Maybe someone
you
else...
You punched the biggest worm you found on the first day.
I ate the biggest fucking worm I could find. But yeah, just like that, I think was really more where I was at. But I was also very mean. I was a very mean child.
Well, I'm glad that hasn't softened.
No, it hasn't at all. I've learned to stop doing it because you get in trouble as an adult at work for being really mean to people. But I would say that there's... Oh, I saw somebody... So this is a great example. I saw somebody on an airplane this week who was dressed exactly like Winnie the Pooh. Like big red t-shirt, khaki pants that were like flesh colored. So it looked like he was just pantsless in a red shirt. And I literally almost... Teams message somebody on the trip with me, hey, this guy looks exactly like Winnie the Pooh. And I was like, I think that's just bullying. I don't think I can share that. So I typed it in, deleted the whole thing, and then chuckled to myself and then put my phone down.
Just like, I think you could call that team building. If this person isn't an employee, you could call that team building.
Not.
That you were.
They were just somebody on the plane. But some it was poor so sad. Funny to me. It was so funny to me seeing somebody. I was like, dude, that's fucking Winnie the Pooh's outfit. I was like, I really want this person to say anything to me that can justify me telling them that they are dressed just like Winnie the Pooh.
Just, like, I'll give you $50 right now if you say the word smackerel out loud.
Oh my god, it was so good. I was just like, dude, come on. I see people dress like Shaggy actually quite a bit. like green shirt,
green shirt, tan pants.
Yeah. Whenever I see anybody who's like lanky and tall dressed like that, I'm just like, dude, shagging it up big time.
Well, you need some like shitty pube scruff too, I think.
Oh yeah, if you can get that, that's even better. That's even better.
Well, what better time than now to end the show? Do you want to take us out? Do you remember all the things?
Oh my god. So it's, you can contact us at itsbrewstews.com. I know that one. BrewsDayTuesdayPodcast@gmail.com. And, oh, the blue sky.
It's the easy one.
Brews Tues?
Yep. Brews Day Tuesday.
BrewsDayTuesday.bluesky.app or whatever it is.
I don't even know why I talk about it anymore. I haven't posted on that account in like 3 years. But it's there.
I mean, that's the whole time that that app's existed. We could have been huge. We could have been the next big thing.
We couldn't have been.
Oh, I mean,
For various reasons.
So many good reasons. Maybe people are going to go anti-Italy at some point, and we'll have been kind of ahead of the curve.
I don't know if you've heard, Tyler has shifted gears.
Who do we not like now?
French Canadians.
They're so mean. I respect it. It's like a mean air superiority, which is completely unfounded. Because I'm like, first of all, you're still Canadian. You're not French. You're still Canadian. So like, maybe be a little nicer.
They think they're better than the French and the Canadians, and they're just the worst of both worlds. I don't know where they get off.
They're just out there being mean to Canadian people, which is like super pathetic.
The thing is, like, poutine's great, but like. Yep. When Tyler was hating on Italians, like, there's so much great culture and food there. I don't know what French Canadians have given us other than poutine, like, at all.
That's it. And stop signs that don't say stop. But, like, that's it.
And also, like, I know what nachos are, and I'm white. I would have gotten to poutine accidentally eventually. I would have invented Wisconsin. It eventually.
Are you telling me that Wisconsin wasn't about to figure out that if you cover French fries and cheese curds and beef gravy, it's good? Like, come on. Like,
they just kept putting curds and fries together and pouring beer on top and being like, nope, still too wet. I don't know what we're supposed to do.
We'll get there, guys. We'll get there. But no, like, no one's going to say poutine is not a fucking A-plus idea. Incredible culinary achievement. It's great. It's probably the best drunk food I could think of that I couldn't even think of. I'm like, gravy on that? Are you going nuts right now? Hell yeah. Good for them. Put that one in the bag for French Canada. But it's like, what have you done for me lately? Nothing. Nothing. And one cool French Canadian. Is Celine Dion Canadian? Do they have her?
I know she's Canadian. I don't know if she's French Canadian.
You've gotta be. I feel like she sounds really French to me. And she got like a really old husband who like really inappropriately hit on her. So that feels very French to me.
Get him.
She was like, my husband was 45 and I was 15 and we fell in love. And you're like, ugh. Ugh. Stop.
Go to therapy.
She was born in Charlemagne, Canada. We don't know where that is. It's in Quebec.
French Canadian.
Yep.
Two good things that French Canada gave us. One and a half.
Celine Dion's okay. And poutine.
Well, that's that. Don't let the bastards keep you down, especially if they're French Canadian. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Here comes a beer. Catch all your tears. Drink the remedy. Forget about your problems. Here comes a shot. Lose all your thoughts. Drink the remedy, forget about your problem. This one's on me, fix you for free. Drink the remedy, forget about everything. This one's on me, got what you need. And take your medicine, you feel better, friend. Can you imagine a whole state that was just constantly dicks to all of America? And that was like, fuck you guys, we're not from here. Can you fucking imagine that? We'd be like, fuck you, dude. Like, we would not tolerate one state the whole time being like that.
I feel like sometimes Texas does that.
That's as close as we get. is they're like, they get a little too uppity sometimes. And we're like, Walker Texas Ranger wasn't a real person. You're not cool. It wasn't real.